Hi, this is Mary Santora, and you're listening to The Default Setting with Jess Falstick and Elizabeth Seaman. Enjoy.
Setting where we find out what makes you tick because we have ways of making you talk. I am your host, Jess Falstick.
And I'm your co-host, Elizabeth Seaman.
Today we have funny man. I don't know if we should call you comedian, writer. What do you like to be called? Guy?
I don't know.
Buddy?
Anything? Yeah, buddy.
We have anything, buddy. Mr. Angelo Manage. Hi, how are you?
Hi. I'm great. It's great.
He's in his car right now, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
It's called a sound booth, and he's just being professional.
Yeah, this is where I rap.
I don't know what it is about cars. Both the lighting and the sound quality are almost better than anywhere else on the planet, at least for me.
Dude, I was worried about that. I was in staircases.
Really?
My stairwell. It was, like, really, there was some good acoustics in there.
No shit.
Like, yeah. But maybe I'll just, like, go rap there. Later.
Yeah, go drop a few beats. What are the kids saying these days?
So good.
Spitting bars.
That. Yeah. Nailed it.
Spitting bars. Dropping beans. I don't know.
Dropping beans. Oh, dude, check this out. They can't see it, but it's a little horsey.
Aww.
It's really funny because it was $8 and it looks like this.
It looked like someone tried to do a polar bear and then were just like, this isn't going well. Yes, let's put some antlers on it and call it a horse.
They're like, yeah, let's do a voodoo doll instead.
And they just gave it little spindly legs.
And then no one wanted to buy it. Like, none of the craft stores wanted to buy it. And so they were like, it's a reindeer. And they were like, oh, okay, all right. We see what you're doing.
We get it now. Why is there human hair on it?
Trying to do, okay. Hey, did we even... Okay, so I'm high as hell right now. Did we at any point discuss what you actually wanted your default setting to be? Do we say OCD?
We said that.
Okay,
yeah.
Do you want to go with that?
Let's do it.
All right, so let's dive into this. Because this is a topic I'm super amped about because I don't even know if it's... I assume it's like a diagnosed thing. Is it diagnosed in your case or is it more of like a characteristic thing?
It's not diagnosed medically. Okay. But like I show a bunch of symptoms and they're bad. And my whole family have patterns of this. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's real weird. Like, I went to a therapist for like 2 weeks and then I was like, wait, this is $40 a week? What is happening? So I stopped going. But she was like, I was telling her stories and she was like, well, you know, that's OCD. And I was like,
she said it all in the down low like that.
Yeah,
like, hey, guy.
Like, just don't tell anybody.
We're gonna get this out there, but
she opens up her coat and she's just like OCD.
She
man,
was like, "Which
out.
One do you want?" Yeah.
But I got fixes.
Yeah. It was weird though. I found out recently because, like, I noticed my grandma and like my mom, they're like weird when it comes to lights. They, like, flick shit on and off all the time. Like, okay, that's weird because I do that. But, like, I thought it was just normal. And, like, I recently found out that my great-grandma, this is where all this shit stems from.
My great-grandma,
she is a hoarder.
Oh.
She's a hoarder. So the OCD, because that's, do you know that, like, hoarding is, like, a symptom of OCD. It's,
no
like, a
shit.
Main, like, it's where you put all your shit. Yeah, you're afraid to throw shit out because it holds values.
Maybe use it sometime in the future, so why would you throw it out? So
yeah.
You could buy a new thing. Because if it happens once, it'll happen all the time.
So, question, so clarify for me if you would, because it sounds like you've done some definite digging into this. Like, to me, I say OCD because, and maybe this is the opposite, I need everything to be in its place and a certain way.
Right, like that, yeah, people say that. They're like, yeah, it's gotta be this way. Gotta go that way. And like I'm like that, but to like the largest extreme possible. Like I show it like crazy. I don't know why. I don't know if it's like my nerves, my anxieties. I don't know. But like I have my room. There are reasons things are in the way. Like there are reasons behind the like things are in the spot that they're in. Like I created rules or something to make them there. And they have to be there. And until I can make other rules to organize my life, they have to be in that spot. And that shit's like, yeah.
Yep.
So like that shit's crazy.
I was just wondering, like, how does having piles and piles of garbage everywhere, like, compared to, like, it sounds like you're very organized in a way. Like, you need you're not? Oh, okay.
But, yeah, like, even the piles, there's, like, that shit is there. Like you can ask, you can ask my great, I don't know, she's 91, she probably won't be able to tell you. Yeah. But she's, like, you can ask her and be, like, all right, where's the pizza box you got on fucking in 2008? And she'll be like, oh, that's right there.
Yeah.
Like, there's, like, a system.
Yeah.
There's systems, and you're like, wow, that's fucking, there's systems, and there's paths when you go to her house.
Well, I think a lot of times that people like misinterpret OCD as being like super clean and organized, but that's not it. It's like you're obsessed with like keeping track of things and putting things in their place, but that doesn't mean that it's in a well organized place or a reasonable place or that you have like the perfect amount of things. You know, it doesn't mean you're a neat freak minimalist.
Yeah, yeah.
And which is just the way things to the stereotypes become.
Yeah. And the thing with obsessions and compulsions, like, you have obsessions. Like, you can't stop thinking about shit. Like, I'll shake somebody's hand. I'll go, fuck, my hand was, like, wet, kind of. And they think I pissed on my hand and then touched them. Like, for, like, ever. Like, I'll think about that for the whole time. Or, like, even in, like, performing, like comedy and stuff, like, are all performers. Like, you're thinking about something immediately as you're saying it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, I do that, like, and you're like, fuck, I shouldn't have said it that way, and you keep dwelling on it, and it can really impact, like, a performance or a set or something like that, and it's, like, fucking real crazy to, like, it took me a long time to acknowledge that, like, you can go through it, like, you can look past it, and that's just one thing that happened. It's like a real struggle out here in the streets, in the car.
I was going to say, when you obsess about that stuff, because, again, there's characteristics of this I relate to a lot, but then, like, there's other characteristics that I'm hard, like, are very, like, polar opposite. So, like, for me, I relate so much to that thing of, like, I don't get to the level of obsession, but, yeah, if I say something weird and I feel kind of awkward about it, it's almost like someone put like a pin, like almost like a push pin in my brain to kind of hold that in place there. And I can think about other things, but in the whole, like, there's always something that's just like kind of nagging at me, and it'll go on for like hours. Like, it won't go away. It's just kind of right there. And every once in a while I'll be like, what's a, oh fuck. And then I dwell on that thing again.
Dude, that's so real. That's okay. I like that push pin.
Yeah.
Cause that shit. Yeah. I like that happens to me all the time too. A large extreme, like, it could be, and everybody dwells on stuff, I feel like, but, like, I feel like mine could go on or something, like, I could think about something for, like, months, like, I mean, that's normal, I feel like. I'm normal!
You're normal, damn it. Come on.
No, so I think, because I think a lot of people have that kind of anxiety where it's just like, I just did something weird. I did something so weird. Now everyone thinks I'm weird. And so I think sometimes that stuff kind of goes hand in hand. Do you ever have those things, because I know I do this sometimes, where it's like, if you're just, like, walking down the sidewalk or something stupid, where it's just like, I really wanted to put my foot to land there, and now it did. Like, it's, like, a weird, it's kind of like, for me, sometimes it's like the light switch thing, like, I just wanted that to be timed better, and it's something that makes no sense and has absolutely no importance. Luckily, I don't dwell on it too much, but it's kind of like, it's not what I wanted.
Oh, that shit's real. Bro, when I was getting in my car, I was leaving my house, and I was like, fuck, I gotta go this direction, or the world's gonna flip upside down. And
yeah!
I did it. I'm not even lying. I did it 4 times. Like, I'm fucked up with numbers and shit. I got number systems. Like,
I think it's those times with the light switches. You're like, I have to do this a certain amount of times, or someone I know and love is gonna die.
desperately want to know is where that whole, like that sensation of dire consequence comes from if you don't do the thing. Because I remember that from so far back. Like, and it, I remember, like, very specifically, like, there was this, my parents had, like, a utensil rack in the kitchen, and every morning I'd have to hit the quarter cup and make it, like, rattle three times, or I would have a bad day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, even though when you do it, you still have bad days, you're like, no, it's going to be so much worse.
Exactly. Yep.
Exactly. And if you ding that shit, you're like, oh, that, when I broke my fucking toys or something, when I dropped my fucking porcelain doll, it was supposed to do that. And now it's good. It's going to be a good, dude, that shit, it stems from like childhood. Also, yes, I do have porcelain dolls.
No, I haven't.
Shelves and shelves and shelves. That's why he's in his car. Thousands. Couldn't see the collection. He hoards dolls.
Yeah, there's just a bunch. You can't. Yeah. I hoard them. I hoard the porcelain dolls.
You should have done the podcast from that room with the porcelain dolls in it.
Oh, we
you.
Don't. We nobody's allowed in.
That's my special space.
Yeah, nobody goes in there. That's my eyes. Oh my God. Yeah, this shit you're saying, that's it stems from childhood. Mm-hmm. And there's like a hump that you gotta like go over that you're like either like, all right, this is some bullshit, or you're like, fuck, this is life now. Like,
yeah, this is real and it's forever. Oh fuck.
Yeah.
So I actually don't know, like, is there medic? I want to say, because like I'm on antidepressants. I've definitely had therapists and people to whom subscribe me my meds tell me that antidepressants help a lot with not just depression but also anxiety and to some extent OCD. And I don't know if you guys know or heard anything about like does OCD medication help the situation at all?
I don't take any medications. Okay. Which is I'm full I like I'm stupid I think because I had the thing where I was like I'm gonna do all natural. I just wanna like see if something's actually wrong on my own. Mm-hmm. Like, but I don't know. I don't know if I need medications. I don't know. There are, for sure. I think that is true. Like, antidepressants, they do help because when you're sad and when you're, like, fucking... Well, for me, like, when I'm sad and when I'm fucking, like, nervous, everything elevates to, like, a next level. Like, oh, see, I'm like, fuck, now I gotta do that 15 times? I have to do that 25 times?
All that stuff, it just really goes hand in hand. And I think there's some, like, brands of antidepressants that help better with, like, anxiety and stuff than others. So it's, I think, it just depends on which one. So I'd assume it would probably be similar for OCD.
What's the first memory you had of, like, something where you were like, where you questioned it, where you were like, what am I doing?
Or did it totally seem normal?
I thought it was, like, sort of normal, but my, like, mom, I was, like, younger. I was probably, like, 9. I don't fucking, no, maybe before that, because when did Green Day Bullet in the Bible come out?
Ooh, I don't know.
I think it was like 2006 or something.
I say, if you were 9 when that came out, then I'm just hanging it up now.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. No. Yeah, I do.
Old ass ditties.
So like it was some time before that. And my mom would be like, why are you doing that? And she would just say weird shit. Like when I was doing weird shit. And I was like, hey, you do that.
Yeah. Look in the mirror, mom. I learned it from watching you.
It was a super, super young age. And it was weird because my family shunned me even though they were doing it. Like, they didn't know that they were doing it. Like, they didn't realize.
Oh, my God. That's shitty.
And they still kind of, they go, why are you doing that with, like, why are you, like, running around in circles? I'm like, oh, because I'm crazy! What are you talking
about? You'd be like, well, why does great-grandma live in a Florida newspapers? I don't know! Why don't we talk to her?
I'm going to great-grandma's. I need the fucking McDonald's Happy Toy meal from fucking 2001. She's got all the, all the happy meal toys.
So I have a question. You kind of alluded to this earlier with all the stuff that she has. Is it kind of also like a Rain Man thing where she can tell you exactly where the like Beanie Baby from 1997 with the antlers.
Oh, I don't know the specifics, but that? Like, I hope. I don't know the specifics.
Yeah. So she's never been like, here, go get me this specific thing from this pile. It's never really been like.
Oh, no. Yeah, she's real secretive. I feel like you're secretive about it when you got
okay.
it.
Okay.
Which is why I'm on this podcast.
You're going to steal her valuable.
Yeah, no one listens. No one voice. Listens to this, so you don't have to worry. There's no one listening right now. It's fine.
Good. Wait, this is live? This happened?
Yeah. Whoops.
Oh. Yeah.
And we have your grandma! And then she comes in and yeah. sits beside me. Like, hi,
she's like, hi, it hurts to move. I'm like, what?
Here are all my napkins that I saved from 1993. See, look at me. I'm such an asshole. I'm like making light of this whole thing. Like, ah, your grandma's. Oh, no,
it's okay.
Your grandma's Oscar the Grouch. She just lives in a pile of her own trash. Ha ha. Oh, so God. Rude. No, but because the reason, the other thing that makes me think of is if they're not that, like, specific about, like, they know where everything is or they know why it's, like, they have this what do you want to say,
like a sort of, system,
well, yeah, and like furthermore that they have an awareness that things are there, and like what would happen if just like day by day you just went in and like took a can, you know what I mean, or like an article of newspaper, and like after a while how soon would it be before it would be like, where's my shit, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's, I feel like that for me, dude. Okay, so like one time, twice times, my mom. Dude, I feel like a fucking asshole and also weird because I'm like 23 and I'm like talking about my mom cleaning my room. Cleaning my room.
That's not for you, mom. That's the doll room.
Yeah, yeah. I said, get out. How'd you get the key? And
the dolls told me weird.
I got home from work and everything was clean, which I wanted to do. I was like, I want to clean my room. I just have to build up my mental fucking stability first. And then, like, everything was moved and deep cleaned. And, like, I had, like, papers and, like, books of shit, like, in a specific way and order. And I was just like, what the fuck? And I was, like, writing this, like, really personal, like, play at the time and, like, rehearsing it. And I was just, like, so weak in my brain that I was like, holy fuck, you moved everything. I'm gonna die. I'm gonna die now. I don't know. And I started to fucking bawl my eyes out. And she was like, "You are sick." And I was like, "What?" And she was like, "You're ungrateful." And I was like, "What?" And then I got more sense. She was calling me ungrateful. And then like, I went downstairs. I was like, "You can't move that," and I explained my position. And then she came back upstairs. And then she started crying and said, "I'm sorry. I didn't know." I'm like, "How did you not know? I'm fucking weird. You flick shit. I flick shit. We all flick shit. What are you talking about?" So
it's like, we come from a long line of shit flippers.
Yeah, it's us. And we just started to cry in my room, and it was like the most magical and the fucking weirdest shit ever. I don't know.
What a nice little moment.
So I noticed.
Yes.
Because it wasn't that different. It wasn't like that different than before.
Yeah.
I just walked in, I was like, why doesn't it smell like shit? I had a shit smell here that I needed to have here.
Cultivating that smell.
Yeah,
I mean, I think, again, this kind of goes back to me being, like, insanely hyper-organized. Like, I can get upset when people clean because it's not done the way that I want it.
Yeah, they don't clean right.
Yeah, well, and I think it's
clean better.
It probably isn't so much, like, order of things, although I know that probably is a good chunk of it. It's more like, it's not as clean as, it's not to my standards sort of a thing.
Yes. Right. That's why I just don't ask people to help sometimes. I'm like, I'm not even going to bitch about it because you're going to do it and I'm still going to be mad.
Adam kept asking if he could help clean the house and I was like, no. Like, no, you can't.
Please don't, actually.
Please don't do things. So, like, are there things that you find help with it, like help with those sorts of like I don't know if you want to call them impulses or compulsions or whatever the case may be.
Oh, no, nothing.
Nothing helps.
Drugs.
Struggle just all the time. Yeah,
it's all the time. Just very riled up. I'm fucking riled. Okay. I don't know. I feel like I have my own personal like things that help. That would not probably work for other people. Like, yeah, you gotta, like, it's like I develop like systems and I don't know. Like, I'm not smart with numbers, like, at all, but I have, like, number systems. And I'm like, it's really weird to keep track of, and I don't know.
It is. If you find it comforting, you know, like,
yeah,
why the fuck not?
Damn right. Yeah, damn right.
Damn skippy. I'm glad that we have video on this. I actually, like, some of these I'm actually going to put video up. Like, I'm going to do a video, the VOD.
Oh, shit. Is it this one?
Yeah, maybe. Like, I definitely want ones where we're, like, doing, like, there's, like, animated shit going on. And yeah, exactly. And then, like, the day that I flashed Elizabeth and Brian Sternick, that was...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit. I
saw right down the cleavage.
Right down the cleave.
Yeah, she bent over to get something. I'm like, damn, girl. Like,
my bad.
Just working for tips now? Because I'll start this dollar bill through the computer.
It was just a push-up bra on a really bad angle. That's all it was. This isn't my fault.
Yeah, and I saw Sad Face McPumpkin eyes wandering back and forth.
I felt really bad because Angelo, you were telling, like, this really, like, compelling sort of thing about, like, your family and OCD, and all of a sudden this cat just, like, sticks her literal ass in my face. And then she walks back and, like, sticks her literal ass in my face again.
Oh, that's awesome as shit.
I was just like, okay.
That happened? I didn't see it.
Yeah, I can probably share it so you can play it when I play it back. But yeah, I'm like,
that was so fantastic.
That was it because you were so in the moment of talking, and I was just like, there's just a cat face or a cat tail that just goes right by my face.
A cat asshole.
Yeah, cat asshole just literally goes right by.
Dude, yeah, my cat acting like an asshole.
Well, my cat is a dick.
Oh, do you have one?
Oh, yeah. He's dying. Aww. We thought he was dying, and then he came back, and we were like, son of a bitch.
Cats, man.
Cats, they're tricky.
Nine lives are real.
He's got like, knots, I don't know what people call him, all over his body. Dude.
Oh, Matt?
Yeah, he's like a topographic map. He's disgusting. And my mom tried to shave him. This was so sad, dude. I came home, and he was, like, bleeding on his side like he was just fucking attacked by a shark.
Oh, God.
Like, oh, no. And then my mom's like, I don't know. He moved.
Oh, God.
And I was like, oh, dude. She had, like, buzzers in her hand. I felt so bad.
Oh, it's not so funny, but it is.
So I assume he's like an elderly cat.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, he's very old.
He's long hair.
He's like long hair, old, gross.
Ooh, do you know how old he is?
Cut the maps out with scissors.
No. I feel like he's in his 60s in human years.
Okay.
He's like a cat that, like, if he was in an alleyway and you were walking by, he'd be like in a dumpster. Mm-hmm. And he'd go, hey, kid!
He's
like that.
He's like Oscar the Grouch too.
He's just like that. He's a hornet.
Oh my God.
What's his name?
Mr. Jingles.
Yay.
And I think he knows it, which is why he wants to die.
he's really only five, but he's all like rumpled and just like decrepit.
It's just like an angry so old sad, man dude. Set in his ways.
This is sad as shit. Because, dude, my mom will sleep with... We have a dog, too. She'll let the dog go in her room to sleep.
Yeah.
And my cat's like, where did I go? Because I closed the fucking door. So aww. He just sits outside and just... And we have a bird, too. And he's just flying around the house. No cage.
The whole Looney Tunes cartoon happening in your house.
We really do. It's weird. I feel like it's That's why we drink.
Yeah. My aunt has an old man cat that she inherited, and he's a long-haired cat who gets mats because he will not be brushed. He will not have him cut. Like, he's just really fickle. He's a little Himalayan, and his name is Baby Kitty. He's just like this tiny matted old man, and his name is Baby Kitty.
It's me,
baby.
He's recently gone blind, and he kind of, like, bumps in the walls a little bit. He got stuck behind an open door, like, he walked, you know, because, like, a triangle shit. He got stuck back there, walked in a corner and was like,
no,
I can't get out. And he loves to drag shoes around.
Aww.
He just he'll go in the closet and, like, get all the shoes and then, like, line them up in the living room.
Baby, oh my God, maybe
he's a crazy old baby kitty.
Does he line them up according to size and color? Because he might have OCD also.
Yeah.
And autism, maybe. Then. Oh, that's like one of the tests they do with kids with like block building and stuff.
Yes, exactly.
That's what happened on Scrubs one time.
Oh, the kid has autism.
I like to call it pawtism. Pawtism.
Holy fuck!
That was so good.
Or Asperger's.
We just walked in on a bit that Jess and her boyfriend did.
I do that at stand up a lot.
Oh, good.
Because yeah. And actually, that's not even. I made that story up, but yeah, because it's a segue. Because I talk about how the area that is between us where we sleep, we call it the Persian Gulf because we have Persians. And then that's how I
segue. Dude, that's
yeah,
fucking good.
That's how I segue into pawtism and Asperger's. And then I tell him that that's offensive and that it's actually called Meown syndrome.
Yeah. Wow, that's so good.
Yeah, thanks. I try.
I like that a lot.
It's funny. I haven't done stand-up in probably 4 months. I'm surprised I actually remembered a joke that I used to do. I was like, wait, that's a joke that I used to
do. Do you still do stand-up? I wondered.
So,
you fucking went to L.A. and I'm like, oh, you're going to be famous. And
I'm not doing jack shit.
No, dude, yeah, you are.
I'm just going to wander. I just decided I'm going to wander around the sidewalk until I'm discovered, because that's how it happens. Like, I'm just
that's how it's done. Where's
you just start yelling, I have arrived, like, over and over again.
Do you see me?
I have a feather boa that I just keep throwing over my shoulder, like Miss Piggy.
Just walk up and down, like, the sidewalks of Hollywood saying, this is where the magic happens.
I actually do. I think my plan is the first of the year I will start doing things again. It's just that when I got here, I was broke and then decided to work like 100 million hours so that I could like pay off all that debt. And then all I had the time to do was basically work and sleep. So, but now that that's done, I am excited to go do performing things. And it's cool too, just because there's like quite a few comedy There's people that
shit's
are
going down there. Yeah. That's cool.
From Cleveland anyway. But I've only seen you perform at my toast prattle that we used to do, our reverse roast battle, and you were very, very good. Do you perform around town a lot or a little?
I do it a few times. Like I did the Hilarities, what's it, the comedy
Cleveland comedy.
Okay. Yeah, I got to the final round or whatever. So that's like I set like tiny little goals and I go do them. Like I don't like go up to mics a lot, really. I don't know. Like I'll test a joke if I am lucky enough to get on like a showcase. Like I do it wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Usually open mic is the first thing you want to do. But I mean, I think that's ballsy. I don't know. Like you trial by fire.
It's fun. I like this year I only did like 4 shows, but they were big to me shows. They were big shows.
Yeah.
I did, and Jeff Davis, dude, he's like a real, he's a supporter of me, man. I don't know. He'll like throw something and ask me to do like 10 minutes. I'm like, really? Okay.
Nice.
Yeah, but like this, I took a giant chunk of like 9 months to just focus on this like one man show I was doing in Tremont.
That's right. I remember seeing posts about this from you. It looked really cool.
Yeah, it was at Convergence Continuum, which is like some little tiny theater. It's like a local whatever. I don't know how, but one of my professors was like, hey, I got connections to this. And then I was, because I wrote this, like, a few, like, 10 pages of this, like, play in a workshop I was in. And then I did it out. It's basically, like, stand-up, but, like, really, like, deeply, deeply, like, unfunny things that I was saying in, like, and these people didn't know if they should laugh, and I fucking loved that. I was like, you don't know if you should laugh, and that is exactly how I felt. Because my mom, like a few years ago, she had a brain tumor. And it's like, I was like, holy fuck, it's the worst thing that could ever happen. And so, like, I hadn't really had a chance to reflect on that in performance.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wrote this thing based around, like, those moments. And, like, that's when I started doing stand-up, is when my mom had a fucking brain tumor. And then, like, I got chlamydia, and I thought that was funny. And it was just a whole large thing.
I love that this has become allegorical. Like, this is a play within a play. Like, I don't know right now if you're trying to make us laugh or if this is real, just like you were describing. So I'm just like...
Yeah, dude. I
love it. Yeah. When people start doing just like really dark personal stuff, like I just think it's so funny. I'm like, man, good for you.
Well, that's the thing. That's
you're like up there just doing it. Fucking awesome.
I love about Elizabeth's humor is that you are very much just like, this is awesome. Like when you tell the stories about, like one of my favorite jokes she does is she talks about how she was playing catch. You were playing catch with someone in the toy aisle, and the guy didn't know how to catch. I'm telling your own joke with you here, right here. But
you're doing it.
This is the audience interpretation of her joke for when it becomes a famous joke, is that she's playing catch with this guy, and this guy doesn't know how to play catch, and she's like, "What's wrong with you?" And he's like, "What did you say? I came from a broken home."
He said, "I never had a dad," and then I wet myself. I laughed so hard. That was so funny. I was like, that's literally like, bravo, best excuse. Like,
bravo.
You did it.
Didn't see that coming. Did not see that coming.
That was so serious. Like, that's not the kind of answer you'd expect. And it was just so, oh, I never had a father. And I'm like, oh, Elizabeth, you burnt.
I never had a father.
Oh.
So yes, when it's that's what I wanted to ask, because I'm always intrigued. Like, I have the hardest. All I want is for people to be like comfortable. Like, to the again, I think I always claim this as OCD, or I don't know if it is or not, but like I cannot be physically or emotionally comfortable until I know everybody else around me is comfortable. Like, I want everybody around me to be happy and good and okay, or I can't have a good time. And so that's how it translates onto the stage for me, is like I can't have a good time if people are uncomfortable, if they're like I am so intrigued by and in admiration of, like, what drives you to want to make people I want to know, because it's so interesting to me.
It's how I feel all the time.
Okay.
I just want people to feel how I feel. I want, because when people feel how you feel, it's like one of the most connected things. Like, you're trying to say something, they like get it, like in a weird way.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, you're like, come on, get on my level. Let's get weird together.
Come on. Yeah, it's like weird like that. And I look at him as every stand-up thing I do, like, that's in the vein, like, that is a stand-up show. It's just a performance. Like, there's a play. It's a play. It's a tiny little play. Sure. And you gotta, whether, like, you're alive in it, it's happening. But, like, whether they like it or not, you're gonna go on through it. And there's a story, there's a story. I trust that there's a story to be told inside of this. There's a reason to be told inside of that set, inside of those minutes, inside of the joke, where for literally 30 seconds you go like this. Like, there's a reason that's happening. And that's sort of what drives me. I'm like, this is happening. This is a story, and I know that I'm telling it. I don't give a shit if you care, but I do care.
That's it. I feel like there are times where I rely too much on that. I will say the one thing comedy has taught me, and the one thing I actually kind of lean into with comedy, is one of my favorite things to do, and it actually came naturally to me, is holding it, if that makes sense. Like, so after you tell a joke and the punchline lands or whatever, even if it doesn't.
Oh, yeah, you take it in.
Just hold it. Like, just, and then you just wait for the laughter to die down and keep holding it. Do you know what I mean? Like, that little moment where you're like,
that's so hard.
Yeah. It's the most fun.
It's hard
because
sometimes, you go.
No, you go.
I was just going to say, I have a hard time doing that because it's like, you have to trust that it's going to work, that they're going to laugh. And sometimes I'm just like, if I stop talking, they'll stop laughing and then it's going to be bad. Like,
don't take one breath.
It feels, it feels like a roller coaster to me. It's literally like,
it is.
I used to hate roller coasters, and I can tell, like, now I love them, because like, I love that moment where you're like, I'm dropping, I'm free falling. I don't know what's going to happen when I hit.
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully you get securely back to where you started and you were belted in the whole time and you don't die.
Dude, starting strong is so fun because you always die. Well, that's what I found. You're always like, oh shit, wait, what, fuck. And then, like, you have to, like, you're always going down, but you have to figure out where to stop. in the downhill. You're oh my God, yes. That's good. We can survive. We can walk.
That's such a good point. Yeah, I would say like that's the closest thing I have to like where I feel like I'm in control enough of an audience where I can just be like, I'm just going to stand here in silence. You know what I mean? Just because, like, what are they going to do? You know what I mean? Like, you're in control of it.
Yeah. Like, yesterday I did Torch on the Porch. Have you ever heard of that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. With Steve Merz and, like, John Bruton. Dude, I was like, man, I love these guys. And I'm, like, going to be on this thing with them. That's awesome. This is beautiful. And so, like, I don't know. We got there. It was kind of weird room. Weird room, you know, like a bar crowd, mm-hmm. but also like few, like 10 people that were there to like see it.
Mm-hmm.
It was real beautiful though. It was like beautiful because everybody was like comfortable and everybody wasn't like high staked, including the audience. Like, and it was like the most beautiful, I don't know.
Nice.
Like, I was just like things, I don't know. Cause like you'll tell a joke. Well, like I have these like stupid jokes that I'll say and nobody laughs, so I wait and then I wait and then I wait and then I just say another one and then it usually gets a few laughs and it like it was working and I was like, this is really kind of awesome. So like it helped me like go, okay, I can say this joke now since they're sort of comfortable and expect to feel that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I said, like, jokes that I wrote fucking, like, 10 minutes before. Like, shitty jokes that weren't things. And, like, experimental jokes that I knew nobody was going to laugh at. And they were fucking laughing. And I was like, this is fucking magical. This is the power.
I feel like it's always nice when you have a room that isn't, like, when they show up, they're like, if you don't, like, it's almost like a challenge. Like, they want to be like, if you don't make me laugh, like, you better make this worth my time. But then, or you have people who are kind of just in it for the fun of it. Like, let's fucking see what happens. I don't give a shit. Like, cause, exactly. I don't know, they're just way more open-minded. For some, not that, like, it feels, like, hostile or something. But sometimes it just feels like just almost like aggressive, like they're just like challenge you,
well,
like
and
do it, I dare you, make me laugh, try.
There's some dude on the Cleveland Akron comedy page that he like posts these like blog posts or article posts. I think they're articles. I think he writes for Medium or something, or he writes, you know, just for.
I feel like I know exactly who you're talking about.
And, like, I don't know the guy. I've never met him.
I've never met him.
I've never heard of him as a comedian.
He's always posting articles.
I'm sure he's talented, but basically, yes, it's like 2 to 3 times a week, usually at least once a week, he'll post an article on the Cleveland comedy page about this is why you suck and this is why no one's laughing, and you know, and it's always like,
what the fuck?
Well, and it always comes back to like it's your fault sort of a thing, and a lot of them are like a lot of them just sound like an angry dad trying to give tough love to like some wayward kid or whatever, and I'm king of the like young old people, like, you know what I mean, like I'm all about like you should follow the rules and you should do what you're told and you should be respectful and you know whatever, I'm all about that shit. But this guy, I remember, wrote this article and it was like, if the crowd didn't laugh, it's always your fault. And I read through it and I was just like, oh, okay. And Angelo, I don't know if I ever had, I don't think I ever had you out to my red light showcase I had at Avenue Tap House in Lakewood. That was a disaster of a venue. Like, it was just full of the angriest fucking hicks, and all they wanted to do was be drunk on a Sunday night. And for one Sunday a week, or for like it was like 3 Sundays a month, every Sunday, for 3 Sundays a month, from the hours of 7 to 8:30, they had to stop yelling long enough for us to be able to tell jokes. Like, and they would just, they'd throw shit at us.
I hated it.
I got a battery thrown at me. Like,
they put in a pool table just so they could start playing pool through the set.
And throw 8 balls.
Yeah. So they could throw 8 balls. Exactly. So the point was, I read this whole article and the guy's just like, you're just not working hard enough. You're not getting enough honest feedback. This is why, like, you know, it's your fault the crowd didn't laugh. And so I was like, dear guy, I cordially invite you to attend my newly resurrected showcase at the Avenue Tap House every Sunday at 7 p.m. Because, I mean, we'd have Bill Squire come in. We would have Brian Kenny come in. We would have Josh Morrow come in. We would have these amazing comedians. Jasmine Carter, who's one of the fucking funniest people in Cleveland, now in LA. Here. But the thing is, she's so fucking funny. We had her, and people were heckling the shit out of her the entire time. And it's like, we had such good performers and just such a shitty audience. And that's why, like, I always just sort of, I balk at the sort of whole notion of, like, you gotta work harder, you know, whatever.
Well, and I guess there's some excuses, like, to a point, like, I can understand that, well, if they're not laughing, maybe you're not reading the room. Because that definitely happens, where I feel like people complain about, like, man, they just weren't going for any of it. And it's just like, yeah, but, like, neither was I, because it wasn't that fun.
Yeah, but you suck.
But that's not, maybe because they want you to die, like the rest of us. No, that's bad.
There's like a moment, I feel like, where you walk into a venue and you're like, I can't do my set I was going to do.
Yeah.
Like, there's the moment.
Or you're just like, oops, okay. This is going to be interesting. I did a show in Canton a few weeks ago, and I walked in, and it was a bunch of older white people. And I definitely have a joke where I talk about ripping a cheese grater out of your ass. And I'm like, I don't know if this is going to fly.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
That's like Lakewood. The hardest thing about Lakewood, and I think another reason why we were doomed from the beginning, is that Lakewood, you think, is a pretty liberal neighborhood, you know? Like, there's just a diverse swath of people throughout Lakewood, and it's pretty liberal. And, yeah, the people who attended this bar, I mean...
They were all the non-literal people.
It was like their oasis, their one oasis in Lakewood where they could fly their rebel flags and they could, you know.
I'll see you at Tai Pai Sound Sunday.
They can talk loudly about the Jews, and like we took that from them. We took that, like, comedians showed up, which are mostly the Jews, and they were just like, no, this is not going to work for us. So. Yeah, I don't know. I think that was a hard thing, as you go in with a set of like, oh, I've got all these really good Trump jokes, and then you realize like all these guys with the MIA POW hats are sitting at the bar, and you're like, oh fuck, that's not gonna work.
Yeah. Yeah, that stuff's fun.
Yeah.
I like deleting an entire set right before you go on stage.
Oh god.
That's my favorite thing to do.
Deleting your entire set.
There's some people who are so good at it. There's some people who are so good at just like, I'm going to go up there, I'm going to wing it, and I'm going to throw some crowd work at it. And I'm just like, and they can do it every time.
If they're doing it well, they've been doing it a while, because no one is that naturally good at it.
Oh my god, it's so intimidating. I was, there was just a show. I was at the Winchester last week or something, and they had it like in the main bar area, not that side room, so I was like, oh shit, how's that gonna go? Katie O'Malley was there, and she did a good job, but then, like, James Earl Brassfield gets up there, and he's just, like, literally taking the mic into the crowd, and it's like, oh, you guys are on a date, and just, like, everyone is dying, and I'm like, god damn it, I'm never gonna be that smooth.
Oh, dude, that's a fun, that's so fun.
Do you
do
that?
Because people hate to be involved.
Or some people want to be involved too much.
That's such a good point.
He kept making jokes about pubes. Like, he kept asking everyone about their pubic hair situation.
How are your pubes? At night.
Yeah, they're like, hey, you're new to the room.
Large.
What's a pube stitch?
Can we just have, like, a small spinoff podcast where we talk about the latest pube trends?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that's what this was.
Oh,
what
is this? Yeah, sorry. Yeah. It's the...
Yeah,
it's
we're all, we've all well, been sitting here.
It's
naked.
The pube sitting.
Pubes.
Yeah.
From my friends I've collected for this evening.
Well, that's all the time we have at the DePube setting.
The DePubes, the richest family in North Dakota.
Oh, one episode of The League where they lied to the one character and they said he thought he smoked weed, but he just like smoked like some pubes in a joint. And he's just like, no, it wasn't. I got high. And they're like, you got high on my pubes then. Like,
my pubes.
Yeah, I've never smoked pubes. I'm afraid to try it, really.
You're what?
Yeah, I could see why. I think it would smell pretty bad.
No, yeah, I feel like...
I get paranoid with...
I get paranoid with smoking parts of people's bodies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything like, I literally grow myself on myself. I don't know if it's safe.
Probably not. That's what they
especially the mushrooms.
Yep.
Oh god. they said that if We after ever practiced cannibalism, like, we would die after we ate our first human because we're all full of too many, like, chemicals and drugs and
people get, if you are, like, you can get, like, diseases, like, that, like, you get really fucked up. Like, you get, like, there's this one where you get, like, holes in your brain or something. Like,
you get holes in your what?
I didn't have that, dude.
Holes in your brain?
I don't want that.
Oh. Hmm.
There's, I don't know, some kind of weird parasite. Like, you get genetically fucked up from eating people.
Oh, yeah. That's why their people's teeth are all weird. And you're like, yeah. You eat people. That's why, like, when you see people, like, you're like, you're a cannibal. And they always are. Always.
So you've been through Kentucky as well.
Or meth addict.
Mm-hmm. What's the difference? It's all in Kentucky.
It's all the same to me. And no, I saw these people on Facebook. They drink each other's blood. They're vampires.
Oh, yeah.
You see that? It's going around town.
It just keeps popping up, like, the opening thing. It's just like, this couple thinks they're vampires. And they're like toasting. Yeah, I'm like, well, probably because they're really hideous and humans don't
everything,
have anything.
Everything, like, I've been seeing that going around and everybody's, like, freaking out about it, but apparently no one remembers, again, I'm amored, but, like, no one remembers when Angelina Jolie
and
Bob Thorne got married and they did the exact same thing.
Wait, yeah, and they wore vials. Blood? They wore vials of each other's blood.
Thank you.
Angelina Jolie and who got married?
Billy Bob Thornton.
You're so young, you didn't even know that was a thing.
Oh,
she's been with Brad Pitt your whole life.
Putting my teeth in. Yeah, my teeth.
Yeah,
they were. And the thing was, they were married for like 5 years, like longer than anybody would have ever expected them to be married.
He's fucking
they're both
gross.
Freaks.
He looks gross.
He was gross 20 years ago when she married him. She was like, and she was like 19.
Yeah, he wasn't better.
Yeah. But yeah, they got married and they drank each other's blood. And I'm like, well, what the fuck? This has been going on a while. This is nothing new. What are you kids?
And that was like,
that's actually adorable.
That they drank each other's blood or that I'm mad at kids for not knowing?
They drank blood. I mean, all of it.
Little column A, little column B.
Back in my day, they used to drink blood till the vampires came home and the bats went out in their place.
Vampires.
Those bats.
I remember vampires and Angelina Jolie.
Back before all that twillet stuff.
The twiddling. The twiddling.
them sparkly assholes.
The twiddling. Oh my god. So I was wondering, so like you were talking about doing stand-up, but then you also mentioned kind of like a one-man play that you were doing. Like, are you kind of just like Renaissance man when it comes sort of performance, or is there something that you sort of specialize, like, that you prefer to do?
Oh, dude, I don't know. It's always stand-up. Like, when I was a little child, I was like, fuck, stand-up, this is what I'm gonna do. And I was like, I'm gonna do it in college, because, like, high school came, I was like, I'm gonna do it, I was in middle school, I was like, I'm gonna do it in high school. I was in high school, I was like, I'm gonna do it in college. And then, I was in my sophomore year of college, and I was like, I should probably start. So then I started. And boom! And now I'm graduating college.
Yay!
High school.
Yay! Yay! Congratulations!
But, yeah!
Yay!
So I started.
Way to go!
What? Yes. What?
Way to go!
Thank you.
Good job.
Let's go.
Here's a sticker.
Or it was my junior year of college. I don't know. It was some year of college. I went to school for creative writing because I was like, I'm just gonna fucking write jokes and get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I did. And nice. And then I got sucked into the poetry world because poetry is fucking weird. Like, you can say things without saying them. Like, you can just, it's like the crate, it's the most, dude, that shit's also magic. It's like performance on page, bro. It's like weirdest shit. It's like crazy. So I got sucked into that world. I don't know. And then I was like, I want to write plays too, because then, like, I can actually do them, and that's the closest thing to stand up while you're in college, by not doing stand up, and you have an excuse to, like, do, like, include other people and make it like, I don't know, sketches, like, and make it a performance or whatever. And so, like, I realized that I was, like, just writing like, I didn't like writing plays. I don't like writing plays because they're not, like, it's not me talking. It's not like, I'm like, I want to talk. I want to deliver the thing.
Yeah, it's like you're putting a filter on yourself or something when you're doing a play.
It's not even that. It's just like, I'm not doing the performance.
Well, like, sorry. Well, there's like the filter and then like the, you have to talk through other people more subtly.
And there's, I mean, that's cool. I like doing that ultimately, but it's like in like a lot, and I like the idea of that in like a large project, like a show or something like that, like a TV show or something, or like sketches. But I feel like I, when I'm doing something like that, like I know exactly what it has to be for it to work. Like, I don't know if that is fucking like I'm an asshole or something, but I feel like I have to do it this way. Or
no, you just, you have more control.
Yeah.
You have more control that way. That makes sense.
It's control and like it's need of also like recognition and the itch, you know, that you gotta
it's me. It's all me. It's all, they're all laughing at me.
I think it goes back to the like OCD shit too.
I was gonna say that sounds like compulsion. That sounds like,
that's exactly what it is. Yeah. I'm like, fuck. Like, yeah. And so pretty much right now, I applied for grad school in Massachusetts. I went to a writing seminar for poetry. Like, I have a secret poetry life. That,
damn.
Like, nobody, like, knows. I don't like to like tell people about it.
They're gonna know now.
No, they're not, because there's no one listening to this. You will not. This will never air.
Excellent. Yeah.
Still more secrets.
Yeah, cool. So poetry is, like, the weirdest shit, and it's so cool. But, like, I'm also embedded in sort of theater and, like, performance, like, going live. Go live! This is happening. Like, these are my jokes! Ah! And then, like, going, doing that there. But, like, it's, like, that's a separate, almost, there's, like, lines that, like, are blurred all the time between, like, compartments of, like, that is stand-up, and that's a performance, and this is that. And then there's, like, poetry, which is like, all right, this is me saying those things in a different way to make you feel differently.
Yep.
Like, because that's, like, a little bit.
This all makes so much sense to me. Like, it's just, it's, like, it's amazing to me how much sense this makes.
Yes, I'm glad it makes sense.
Have you ever done, so you've done, like slam poetry kind of stuff?
That's or stupid. Like, oh, yeah. It's dumb.
I felt like, I was just thinking, I'm like, well, that kind of sounds like it's some sort of, like, some people use it like an in-between-ish. So maybe that would be relevant.
That shit's just rappers going, fucking, I'm rapping. Yes, I'm rapping. Check it.
But they don't have, like, they don't have the bar, they don't have the bars to be dropped, is what you're saying.
Like, because...
Full circle, grandma, you did it.
Yeah, it's like, it's very technical on the page. Like, like, you have rules. And, like, granted, slam poetry exists as an art form, but it's performance. So when you're there, and some people do this, like, it's really kind of cool because I've been to those things. But like they'll just start like improvising shit, but it's for a different reason. And I feel like when I'm in front of people, they gotta laugh and think at the same time. And so I fucking, like, slam poetry is just weird because people just think I'm weird, and if there's a joke in a poem, they don't laugh because it's a different audience. Right. They're like, weird.
Simple, that would be so frustrating.
Oh, and I love making poetry audiences fucking just go, what? Like, I love making them, he said ass fucker? Like, it's so fun. It's so fun.
Like, that sounds like my kind of poetry.
Yeah.
Bro, it's so fun to see.
I would go to more poetry slams if people used ass fucker in their poems. Like, I would, that's just a fact.
I feel like poetry doesn't have enough of it.
Yeah.
Maya Angelou set quite a precedent of not using the word ass fucker. And I think we're all suffering for it.
I agree. This world is a better place without her. No, I love you, Maya Angelou, wherever
she could have given us, like, one ass fucker poem, you know? Yeah, like, she could have.
I was pissed, honestly. I'm like, you died without an ass fuck?
In her poems, anyway. Know, we don't know what else is going on in her private life.
In the grave.
In the grave. So are you performing...
On that note.
Are you performing...
Yeah, okay.
Look at the time. Performing. So, like, do you have any upcoming? So, this is going to air in January, probably. Do you have any upcoming shows or anything you'd like to promote?
No. In like January 6th, I'm doing that like 51st jokes at Laredy's. Yeah. But I'm chilling.
Hey,
I'm writing a lot.
What are your thoughts on that 51st jokes thing? Like, do you think everybody should do a brand new joke at it? Like, is that think something?
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought everybody gets a minute. I don't know if that is right.
Oh, they changed it then.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I don't. Is it that? I don't know if it's that.
Oh, I don't know. I just know I did it last year, and they didn't set. I don't think there was like a time limit, but they were like everyone just does one joke. And so, number one, like, a lot of people just went up and told jokes that I've heard them tell, like, a million times, which I thought was kind of weird. Yeah. And then, yeah. I would say at least 25 out of the 50 people, I'm going to set back just a little bit. Anybody who's not a comedian, why are you listening to the show? But if you are listening and you're not a comedian, there is something called 51st jokes that happens around the country where 50 comedians go up, they're supposed to tell one joke that no one's ever heard. The beginning of the year, and it's like the first jokes of the year. And so people will tell jokes they've been telling for eons, but furthermore, I would say half the people told jokes, and then after they got a laugh, continued to do a set for like 3 minutes afterwards.
Yeah, that's why I think they started with the time limit, because the way that it went last year, they're like,
that's
you
really
will
funny.
Be here until 2019 exactly. if you guys don't fucking wrap it up.
Yep.
That's really funny. I want to just make a noise and like that's the joke.
Do it like, the whole fucking... time.
That's what I do.
Yeah. So I think they should tell a new joke at least, like or something.
Right.
Do something new. I don't care. Like if it doesn't get a laugh, who the fuck cares?
Yeah, like, it's supposed to. It seems point. Like you know to start off the year like on a new page.
Yeah. It's a,
you should tell a new joke.
I don't know.
Well, and like that,
I'm doing it.
There's 50 other people in the room, so you'll probably get one of them to laugh, I imagine.
At least. Yeah, so
just go up there and just like, make a
that's
noise.
Actually, yeah. That's,
just
that's,
do it.
That's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm not even lying.
And then you should just go up to the mic and be like, I have a minute. And they'll be like, yeah. And you'll be like, nah.
Yep. Just set the timer on your phone. Like, you just keep looking at it like,
I actually have a joke where I like just make the noise of static on TV for like literally like 30 seconds like with my mouth. And then I go, you know, when you go up to the TV and try to press volume, but you press channel and then I just move on.
Do it.
And, like
do
that's
it.
The end of the joke. And that's, yeah.
That's really good. Oh my God. Now I'm really high. Do but that's so also good. Very, it's a funny,
do the noise.
Funny fucking joke.
Static it.
What if that's what's playing us out? Can we? That'd be
ooh,
crazy.
Oh my God! Oh man! So,
no, you haven't done that in a while.
Yeah, that
Jess.
Makes me sad. So all of last season, we got rid of. We would do a special sound effect at the end on season one, and in season two, we couldn't come up with any sound effects, so we just gave up on it. But now we should probably like bring it back again because you've got like an awesomely perfect.
We're just gonna have to like phone in Angelo at the end of every show. Hey, we need a sound.
Yeah, exactly. Like, because here's what happened.
I don't care if you're busy. Nan can dig herself out of the boxes. You need to be making a noise right now.
Wait. There's no reception under this pile of burger wrappers.
Earn your 50 cents a week.
Oh, God. That's so good. Holy shit. Yeah, no, now we're just going to make you like that guy they had on, what was it, Police Academy? Police Academy yeah. movies?
Oh, dude, fucking, what's his name?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, God damn.
He makes all the
Michael
movies.
Winslow?
Yes,
is that
that's yeah. it. I was like, it's not
Michael
the guy.
Michelangelo?
Well, I was like, it's not the guy from Family Matters, but then I was like, those are the Winslows.
Wait, it might be.
So, I guess that makes sense. Well,
yeah, the Winslows.
Angelo, Manage, I want to thank you so much for being our guest today.
Well, thank you for having me.
You are a lot of fun. It actually does. I was gonna like something I think about sometimes is like when I'm trying to get bookings and try to get people lined up for shows, like I always think about you, but I'm like, I don't know if he likes to go out and do comedy as much as some of these other douches do, so I don't want to harass
you. We got
you.
Shows for you.
Oh, dude, totally ask them. Me. And I'll say no. No, I'm just kidding.
Awesome.
Please ask me though, because I'm I graduated, so I'm ready to just, I'm in shambles. I'm ready to pick a path.
Yeah. Take those shambles to a comedy show. That's what everyone else does.
Yeah,
it's, and there's like this part of me that too, and like, I'll probably embarrass you by saying this, I'm sorry, but like, it's just like, you're like a perfect porcelain doll that I don't want to like crack or get dirty. Oh, like, God. You're just
like the ones in his
just
room.
Just like the ones in your room.
In my room.
Yeah, did you go into the room?
Did you what move did anything?
What did he just say?
Did you move anything?
Sorry.
We're gonna make him cry.
No! Sorry.
How dare you?
No, but it was just, it was like,
my neighbor's hear me, yeah.
There's this part of me that's like, I don't want to, I want
to, Narcan, it's fine.
I don't want to take you out of your box too much because like, I want you to stay as like hilarious and awesome because I feel like the more you get exposed to like all the germs and the like dirt, like I don't want to ruin you. You're very good because that was the thing, I'd never seen you perform before, and you came to our reverse roast battle and you just fucking destroyed it, and I was just like, oh man, like this guy, if we let him out of his box too much, we're gonna ruin him. So
oh my god, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, ask me though if you got, if you're blind.
Yeah,
up,
I may do that.
I love it
because the problem is like booking too. I meant to wrap this up, and here's hi Jess rambling on. Back in my day, they there's a lot of really good people from out of town, and there's a lot of really good people in town. But we've had them perform like 208 times, and I just want to like change the lineup a little bit. So it would be good to have you back. I would love to get that going.
Oh, cool. Yeah, cool.
Okay. You can bring your dolls. And your nan.
No, they're not leaving the room. They're not leaving.
They stay in the box.
For them to leave.
Yeah.
I want to thank you, Elizabeth, for being our co-host. Do you have any social media or anything you want to promote?
I never remember what they're called.
You don't remember your own social media profiles. I love that very much.
You make jokes about how you're 100. I'm like, what's a Twitter?
The twiddles.
What's the Twix?
Hey, I meant to ask you, Angela, do you have any social media you like to promote?
On Twitter, it's Angelio. So, A-N-G-E-E-L-I-O.
You actually got that? You didn't have to put a 69 or anything after it?
Oh, he just does that for
fun. I wanted to.
Yeah.
But that one was too. No, yeah, it's just that on Twitter, and my Instagram is Lord Angelio again.
Perfect.
Nice.
So, cool.
All right. Thanks to our network, Above Below Entertainment. And, okay, love you. Bye.
Bye.